So first off, Neil, thanks a lot for joining us here on the Daytimes today.
Pleasure to speak to you.
Neil, I know you've been plying your trade across the pond. How's it been over in the States?
Yes, it's certainly different, but it's exciting and trying something different, totally different culture of football out here, but I'm really enjoying it.
It's always fantastic to hear, and I imagine you're probably enjoying the climates of Florida and playing the football over there rather than Yorkshire over the festive period.
Yeah, I mean, I missed the thrills and spells of the Christmas period, but it's certainly nice to enjoy the nice weather and being able to wear shorts and T-shirts at this time of year. Big change.
No doubt about that. And looking at the States and the type of football over there now, of course, we've seen it getting even more of a profile now over in America. How do you think it's changed the attitudes to soccer over in America now?
It's probably changing all the time, and it's probably taking a wee bit longer than people would expect, but it's definitely gathering momentum. The MLS is becoming a very serious league, and that just trickles down into the other leagues. And when you live here, you just see the appetite for football from the youths. And when you start getting that, that's only going to go one way, and that means that these players that are playing so much when they're young will eventually graduate and become professionals. So very positive from the Americans' point of view.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I'll have a look at your time over there in America as well in a second. But I just wanted to pick up on at Leeds United because, of course, when you were over there, there must have been some really fond memories made for you over at Elland Road.
Oh, yeah. You know, fantastic. I was lucky to be part of the team that came out of League One. And the day we beat Bristol Rovers, last game of the season, it's probably one of the best games I've ever been involved in. After 50 minutes, I didn't think it was going to be, but the way the crowd got behind us and the way the team reacted with 10 men and 1-0 down was phenomenal. Yeah, that game particularly lives long in the memory.
There's no surprise there. When you speak to a lot of Leeds players that were there that day as well, and even the fans as well, just the sheer noise just seemed to have spooked Bristol Rovers at that time. And just all the momentum behind Leeds, the atmosphere that day just seemed to be incredible.
Yeah, it was. It really was. Elland Road's a proper football stadium, as I'd describe it. The fans are nice and close to the action, and that day, they almost sucked the ball in the net. We didn't feel as if we had a man down, and it was a strange feeling because we went on and won the game quite comfortably in the end. It was just phenomenal. Anyone that was there, it's almost hard to describe the kind of feeling in the stadium. Obviously, a few years of suffering, and that day didn't maybe make it worthwhile, but certainly gave a bit of payback to the fans.
Yeah, certainly. And you're talking about first sort of going to Leeds United as well. What was it like when you first went to Leeds, and how did that move actually come about in the first place?
So I was at Preston at the time, and me and Darren Ferguson went maybe seen eye to eye, and I was actually Sheffield Wednesday were trying to sign me in the Championship at the time. Alan Irvine was the manager there, but Paddy Cusnoble got injured and Leeds United were interested, and I was really keen to come to the club the size of Leeds United. I knew what they were trying to achieve in getting out of League One, and so it came about on day, I think it was on deadline day for the loan window, and it all happened pretty quickly, and I made my debut on the Saturday after signing on the Wednesday at Norwich. Yeah, it was a great opportunity to come and play with such a huge club, and the fact that we were vying for promotion just made it all the better.
And just looking at the squad back then as well, it just seemed to be, you know, real quality from 1 to 11 that year as well. It must have been a pleasure with the sort of, the teammates you had there at the time as well.
Yeah, in some respects, it's one of my biggest regrets that team never got to fulfil its potential. I left in the Championship season, January deadline day, to Sheffield United, and while the move to Sheffield United worked out well for me in the end, we had such good players and such a good squad at that time. I think I left the team sitting fourth or fifth in the Championship, and we never capitalised on what a good squad we had, and a lot of those players have went on to play in the Premiership and be regulars in the Premiership, so that was definitely a case of underachieving, I think, with that team when you look back. But obviously now Gary Monk's got them back up there, and it's looking very positive.
Yeah, no doubt about that. There really is some optimism around Elland Road. Fantastic to see that once again. I mean, the job that Gary Monk's done really seems to have turned everything around. I mean, how well they're doing in the Championship at the moment. Do you still keep a keen eye on Leeds and how they're doing?
Yeah, you know, Leeds, obviously a club again I've played for and have good memories at. And I've actually managed to watch a few of the games out here. I've seen them play Liverpool in the Cup. I watched a couple of games recently and just really impressed with the way they're playing. I think it was Derby was the last game I got to see, and just exactly the way you'd expect the Leeds team to be playing at home against Derby. They were up and at them. They got the fans behind them. They were high tempo, high energy. Just fantastic. And they've got a lot of young players, young and hungry players, which I always think's a good recipe for success in the Championship.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll see more good times over at Elland Road. But talking about another sleeping giant of Yorkshire, Sheffield United. And, I mean, we obviously spent quite a bit of time there down at Bramall Lane as well. And as you were speaking earlier, it might not have never happened if you'd have gone to Sheffield Wednesday, like you were saying there. But outstanding yeah. place is Bramall Lane, isn't it? And you must have been happy to have gone over there.
Yeah, Bramall Lane is just a phenomenal football stadium, when it's especially when the... It's full. I was lucky to play there numerous occasions when it's full. And yeah, again, it's just a traditional football stadium. The fans get behind the team. And this season, they're obviously flying high, top of the league. And just watching the highlights, I can just see there's been some great days there already. And hopefully between now and the end of the season, they'll have some really good days to come. They're another fan base, similar to Leeds, that just deserve so much success for their loyalty. The fans... in Yorkshire, they just seem so loyal to their clubs and so passionate, and it'd be great to see like Sheffield United getting back up to where they belong, and getting these Yorkshire derbies back into play.
Yeah, certainly right there. And just to talk about when you first came into Sheffield United, because you really were, especially in the 11-12 season as well, a part of a fantastic defensive established team there as well. It must have been a fantastic playing at that time.
Yeah. You know, like Harry Maguire, he's made a lot of headlines recently with his big performances, and me and Harry developed a really good partnership together. And a lot of people don't appreciate that as a defender, sometimes you're only as good as the players around you. No matter how good you are, if someone's letting you down, it puts everything out of sync. So me and Harry had a fantastic partnership, and it made it some of the most enjoyable football in my career. It was just a shame that a couple of seasons we just didn't have the goals to get us out of that league, which we should have done.
And I was just going to bring up as well, the playoff final defeat. It must have been a hard one to take at the time as well. But did you feel like you came out the back of that one a stronger player?
Yeah, I probably did. I think in football, you don't have time to feel sorry for yourself. You've got to just dust yourself down and go again. But that's probably the biggest regret in my career that day, the fact that we never managed to win. I never take anything for granted in football, but in the penalty shootout that day, after they'd missed the first three penalties, I thought we were going to do the business, and it wasn't to be. It genuinely felt at times at Sheffield United as if we were cursed, but hopefully now with Chris Wilder, they're going to make the step up and go back into the Championship.
It certainly looks that way as well, and obviously to Chris Wilder, how well they're doing at the moment. Obviously, he's a Sheffield United fan himself as well, and he seems to be enjoying things down at Howe Bramall Lane and how things are going there. And like you say, he's one of those teams that you just want him to be able to get back up again now after quite a few tries in the last couple of years.
Yeah, again, it's for me, it's for the club and its supporters. I mean, Sheffield United's average crowds are just phenomenal for a team that's been in that division for so long. I think it's just fantastic that an English club in League One can get 20,000 people regularly at that level, and they would be much more beneficial for English football if they were playing far higher up, as it would be for the other Yorkshire clubs. Chris Wilder's done a fantastic job there. He's got the hard bit to do now to get them over the line between now and the end of the season, but on the basis of what I've seen so far, I'm not sure anyone else in that league will be better than them this year.
I think you're right there. They are really certainly been fantastic this season. And as well, Neil, looking at the clubs that you've played at so many so many teams that seem to have, you know, real football in cities. I look at Wolves, I look at Leeds, I'm looking at Sheffield United. I mean, other teams there as well. It must have been fantastic playing in such a big crowds. And was it made it even better for you, the fact that you were at these sides with, you know, such footballing tradition?
Yeah, I've been very fortunate to play for the clubs that you mentioned, in Sunderland as well, another fantastic football club. Yeah, that's one of the things I've always put over maybe like money or certain other clubs at times. I've had the choice and I've always went for the club I felt with the best tradition, the most history, you know, the big crowds. Nothing beats going away from home with a big following. It just gives you that extra motivation to do well, you know. So, yeah, I find myself very lucky to have played for these clubs and what you would call proper traditional football clubs with great followings. And you can't beat that. You can't beat having such a big support. And at times it doesn't go well, you can accept that, but it's always worth the bad days. When you get the good days, it just can't be beaten.
I was going to say, because there aren't too many, it seems to be almost more downs than ups in football, really. So I suppose you can't find a high like you can on a football field just about anywhere else, really.
No, certainly not. You go back to that Bristol Rovers game, that feeling, if you could bottle that up and sell it, you'd be a very wealthy man. It's a fantastic feeling. But on the other hand, the feeling you have when you have the disappointments, you know, you feel as lower than a snake's belly at times. But that, again, is the test of being a professional sportsman. It's about just lifting yourself up all the time and going again. And the people that tend to have long careers in the games are the ones that can do that. So, no, it's great. But these big clubs, you know, they give you more opportunities of having great days.
Yeah, you're right there. And also, I want to look at you moving over to the States as well, Neil. Obviously, there's a lot of talk now of big-name players moving over to the States. What about young players and players over here in England? Is it something that you'd recommend to them going over and playing the trade in America?
Yes, you know, it's something that I would certainly be considering. I wouldn't rush into it if I was very young in England, because I still think Europe is the hub of football, and if you've got the opportunity of playing there, you'd make the most of it. But I think, as I mentioned earlier, the MLS is really starting to grow, and they're moving away now from just getting the older players in that are coming to the end of their career. They're wanting players that are more in the prime of their career, and that's a sign of the league getting stronger and people are more attracted to coming over to play in the league. So it's certainly something that I think you'll find even top players starting to look at, because the facilities here and the lifestyle are obviously second to none. So that's another important part of a footballer's decision as well.
Yeah, and I also just wanted to have a look at what you plan on doing next as well, Neil, because obviously you're a UEFA A licence holder as well there,
that's
Neil.
Right.
And, obviously, I've really enjoyed your writings as well on Wayne Rooney, and it's absolutely fantastic. What's next for you in football? You always wanted to not just be playing, but also involved in maybe a coaching setup one day, or maybe even looking at going into writing as well.
Yeah, you know, in football, things change so quickly, and I'm enjoying my career playing right now, and I've obviously got an eye on what I'm going to do afterwards. But I'm very open to a lot of different avenues. I really got a real thirst for coaching. That's why I got my licence at so young. So that's something I'm really interested in. But at the same time, I enjoy writing, I enjoy talking about football, and you know, I'll just wait and see what options arise. And I think the most important thing for any footballer coming into the career is just to be prepared, and be prepared as well as you can. I'm pretty fortunate that I've got a university degree as well from my younger years. So, you know, I'll not take anything for granted. I'll just wait and see what comes my way, and enjoy starting, obviously, another career, starting again from scratch, more or less, and seeing where that takes me.
And yeah, I absolutely loved your article on Wayne Rooney, and he just,
thanks.
I think a lot of these things are shown, you know, the fantastic career that you've had and all the memories that you've had along the way as well. But just sometimes how things could have ended up so differently.
Yeah, I do genuinely think that people forget sometimes in football they always see things black and white, and sometimes it can be the bounce of a ball or a decision that you make that can change the course of things quite easily. If you had a crystal ball, everything would be perfectly fine, but you don't, and you've just got to make decisions the best you can at the time and see where that goes. So it is strange in football. Winners and losers can just be dictated to by the smallest of details, and people sometimes forget that.
Yeah, that is very true indeed. Well, Neil, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the day. So I say thank you so much for joining us, having a chat with us today.
Excellent. Really enjoyed it. Thank you.